So today's talk is the third in our series on looking at the church, the people of God, not only gathered on a Sunday, but scattered into our communities. In the first talk of our series, if you remember, 2 weeks ago now, Tim spoke about living as God's chosen people, saved by grace and restored by his love, learning together to be his disciples and worship God, and then being sent out to make all the difference in the world. And last Sunday, Peter and Rosie spoke about finding God in the everyday, noticing God with us in every situation, wherever we are, and allowing these places to become holy ground where we encounter God and see God's transformation of people and situations. And today, we're thinking about whatever we do, wherever we find ourselves in our everyday lives, at home, looking after children, or grandchildren, at work, in the workplace, or at home now as well, walking the dog, or talking with a neighbour on the driveway. Whatever we do, the work of our hands, however small and insignificant it may seem, and we think it is, it matters to God. Every day, everything we do, big or small, can become part of our worship and service to God if we offer it to him. So let us pray. Father God, as I speak in these few minutes, please come by your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and let each one of us hear your word, your Rhema word to us today. Amen. This series is based on 1 Peter, which is the letter of Peter, Jesus' disciple, writing to the new believers, the early church, who had been exiled from Jerusalem. They had experienced persecution and so had been scattered all over ancient Turkey, taking the gospel message with them. And if we apply this to the church today, we realise our scattering is as important as our gathering. In these times, we are still in the middle of a global pandemic. And I think this scattering has taken on even more significance. Sunday worship, our gathering, is now different than it's been for centuries. As we know, we're here on Zoom. Many church buildings still remain closed, and those that are open are very restricted in how many can attend. And even our fellowships and chats over coffee have been curtailed. Sunday worship in the church building is not what it was. Now, this is a painful experience for many of us. But may I suggest, just as God used the exile from Jerusalem for good to enable the spread of the gospel, perhaps God will use this current shake-up of the church to get us out of our comfort zones, out of the way we do things, into new ways, into being church out there, scattered. In January, when we looked forward to the year ahead, who ever would have imagined that our main Sunday service would be here online, and that our midweek service in church would be as full as our Sunday one? And when others join our services, who don't usually come to church, it's almost certainly not on a Sunday morning. It's more likely to be on a Monday afternoon or a Thursday night, whenever they decide to have a look online. And for me, this has been a strange time to be ordained. It's now more obvious than ever that church is not about clergy and church traditions. It's about Christians living for God in the everyday. The real work does not happen in church. It happens in our everyday lives. And God wants us out there Monday to Friday, where we spend our time, what we do, who we meet. That is our worship. And God will enable us, as Paul puts it in his letter to the Philippians, to shine like stars in the darkness. And as Jesus instructed us, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In everything we do, everything. We are Jesus' hands and feet. We live and work for his praise and glory out there scattered. Our reading this morning from Paul's letter to the Colossians describes the kind of community God was calling them to be. And this was not inward focused. Their daily lives were marked by love, kindness and compassion in their places of work or activity and in their relationships. The social conditions assumed in this passage aren't what most of us face today. And just to be clear, in verses 18 to 24, Paul is not endorsing controlling, coercive relationships. Paul comments that Christians are called to go beyond their social norms for household management, serving God by lovingly serving each other. And this applied as much to husbands and masters as it did to wives and slaves. All serve each other under Christ. This is not the same as submissively accepting unjust and abusive behaviour. And Paul writes in verse 17, "Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father." And later in verse 23, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord and not for men." So whatever we do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Whether that is working in a supermarket, in the hospital or care home, or in your home office interacting with others online. Whether that is caring for friends or family at home, or putting photos on Facebook to help others see the beauty of creation, or smiling at the delivery driver and asking about his day. Whatever we do, it all matters. It is all important as we live out our calling as followers of Christ. We can find joy in everything we do, even the mundane, if we're looking for God at work in it, and if we're doing it with all our heart as part of our service and love of God. I'm just going to pause here, and I think we're going to have a hymn, and then I'm going to continue with the second part. So this series refers to our front lines as anywhere our lives touch those who don't know Jesus, the places where we live and work during the week. Often, these places are comfortable places for us to be, with work colleagues, friends and family. And we can serve them with joy and look for God at work. But sometimes, these places can literally feel like a front line, a battleground. Many of us are the only Christian in our family, and we live and work in a world that, although it overtly holds Christian values, under pressure will quickly revert to every man for himself. We will witness all sorts of injustice, xenophobia, and discrimination. The world in which we live can be a place of raw emotions, heartbreak, and pain emanating from lives broken by all kinds of abuse. And some of us might be survivors of this. And all of us are, in one way or another, those cracked pots which Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 4. But we all have the treasure, the life of Jesus, the resurrection power of God inside us by the Holy Spirit, which shines through the cracks to witness to the restoring love of God to those around us. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. This saying is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, but most agree he didn't actually say it. But it's relevant nevertheless. It reminds us that we should embody the gospel. How we live our lives, what we do, often draw people to Jesus more powerfully than what we say. Actions speak louder than words. And Paul was a tent maker, I'm sure he shared the gospel as much during his business affairs as he did while teaching new believers in their homes. And although Paul is known to be an excellent preacher and teacher, I hope I'm right in assuming he did it as much by the way he lived as what he said. So what does it mean to do all things in Jesus' name as a representative of the Lord Jesus? How does Paul suggest we do this? In Colossians he says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds all things together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. As members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." If we live like this as we go about our daily lives, we will be different. We will shine like stars in the dark in this now uncertain and often fear-filled world. And Colossians 3:16 reminds us to teach and counsel each other and encourage each other with psalms and songs. A sore point, I know, at the moment. But we can still sing at home. We can still sing along to Spotify, YouTube, or hum those old hymns and songs that we have embedded in our memories. I'm not suggesting that meeting together is not important. When we meet, whether it be on a Sunday or a Wednesday, or at other times in small groups during the week, we build each other up in the Lord through discipleship, teaching, worship, and prayer. We can't shine and share God's love with others if we're spiritually empty. This seems an appropriate point to remind us of our church motto, written above the serving hatch in the parish centre, Hebrews 10:24. "Let us think of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and good works." And that passage goes on to say, "Let us not give up meeting together. Even though it's not easy at the moment, let us not give up." So, as we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, let us continue to follow him and let our roots grow down deep into him. And as the light of Christ shines in our hearts through the brokenness and fragility of the cracked pots which are our lives, let us take the light of Christ into the places we are scattered. And let's go out there in the strength and love and hope of Christ, making all the difference in the world, wherever we are and whatever we do. Amen.